It's time for the firm of Harris and Meringue.
I was terrified that I was not going to make the show on time.
Patrick Harris.
Hi, friend.
Danny Meringue.
I'm one of those weirdos.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hi, friends. What is going on up in here? Right in here. Happy little Tuesday. For it must be a Tuesday.
Feels it's always like a Tuesday. Feels like Wednesday.
Why are we doing this again?
I don't know.
Last week, you were on Thursday. You were like, it feels like a Friday.
Yeah, my days are all messed up, man. I don't like it.
And I ended up being on a phone call on my way home from the show with a buddy who I knew was going out of town on the weekend.
Mm.
And I said to him as we were hanging up, I was like, well, have a great time at the beach this weekend. He was like, okay, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, whoopsies.
I don't know, man. My days, people think it's a running bit. It's not a bit. I just don't know days. My days are always just jacked up.
I'm really excited. My kids come home tomorrow. They have been with their Faja in Costa Rica.
Mm.
And school starts next Tuesday in old Vancouver school district. And I feel like once I get the kids back and they're in school, my days of the week will become a lot more predictable, a lot more defined.
Yeah.
Yes, as a great phrase for that. Yeah. And I am feeling a lot more comfortable and ready to rumble because of it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, not something I have to deal with. So, you know, just kind of, that's probably what keeps me just kind of like, hey, whatever, man, golf.
Yeah. If you didn't do this show and you like just did Blazers, days of the week would not matter.
They don't exist.
Because you don't always have a game on Saturday, right?
No, I
but you'll have
that
one on Saturday or Sunday, just not both, usually.
Yeah, so was it the second or third year of Outsiders? I was just doing TV in that period because I stopped taking contracts at that point in time. So that's what I had.
Mm-hmm.
Like during that 6-month period, that's all I did. And days did not matter. It just didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I was unemployed for a little bit before I took this job, and that after like 3 weeks got a really, real dicey around the house.
Oh, dude, yeah, no, 100%.
Because it was summertime, and so the kids weren't in school, and the wife wasn't working because she works preschool, but she went back to work today for the first time, so maybe my structure starts today.
There you go. Yeah, no, I had a 3-week period between the job that I was working as the logistics director at the manufacturing place and here. And I had signed the contract and all that kind of stuff, but it took like 3 weeks for everything to process. And I was like, hey, should I put in my 2 weeks? Like, yeah, no, we're good. And then a week, and then 2 weeks, and then 3 weeks. And I'm just like, all right, cool. And I had nothing to do for 3 weeks because it was June.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all it was.
My last job that I quit, I put in a 30-day notice.
Ooh.
I'm a 30-day notice kind of guy, and I got a call from my big boss, and she was like, you know what, you're done.
No.
We're going to pay you out, and you don't have to come back to work.
Nice.
I was like, sweet.
My boss there, great dude. I was doing TV at the same time then, too, and he watched the show and big Blazers fan, and I told him, like, hey, if this opportunity comes up, this will be the thing that I leave here for. Because, again, this is a job that I took during COVID.
Sure.
It wasn't something I planned on doing for a very long time. It was like, I'll be here for a couple of years, probably, you know, because COVID, we didn't know. And then this came up, and I told him, like, oh, hey, the offer I told you about, it came. He's like, dude, that's awesome. He goes, when do you need to go? And and I was like, well, how much time do you want? He goes, just give me whatever. He was really, really cool about it. And it was like, when it came time, and they told me here, like, hey, what's transition? I gave the 2 weeks, and then corporate, you know, took their time with stuff.
This place has always been really good to me when I didn't have a job.
Mm.
Like, I learned, I cross-trained to produce.
There you go.
Once, because I didn't have a job, and
on
I
the
produced.
On the ones and twos.
On the ones and twos. I did AJ and Dusty.
There you go.
I was Dusty's producer for, like, 6 weeks. Will Darkins was on paternity leave.
There you go.
For his first child. Congrats to Will and his family on their second child. Appropriately named after Luke Anderson.
There you go.
Another time, yeah, one time, like, I got, like, 5 hosting gigs in 3 weeks.
No, there you go.
It was like, all right. And I got grandfathered in, so I was fortunately making a lot more hourly than some of our part-timers were.
It'll happen.
I'm pretty sure if I didn't get this job, I was going to get fired. They were like, that guy?
Yeah,
we pay that guy how much?
Yeah,
no, thank you.
Yeah, hard pass. This is the total random.
And then this time I was unemployed and, you know, Dusty made the worst choice of his life and hired me.
I mean, for his first choice, too.
It's brutal, dude.
That's a tough one to live down.
It's brutal.
Jeff Austin had his last decision was me.
So, also brutal.
Right? It's tough.
But at least he goes out in a blaze of glory. Right? He's like, see you, suckers.
You're stuck with him. Ha ha. You got a new contract.
He goes walking out of the building like the Joker with the hospital.
Yeah,
people
yeah just flicks
him
a cigarette.
Enjoy, guys.
Adios, muchachos.
Enjoy him. He just signed a new deal. Suck it. But no, this is a totally random thing. I wonder if this happens to you guys. Is there a food that is out there that you don't eat often?
Uh-oh. I have no idea where this is going.
Because this is what it happened to me yesterday, where when that particular craving hits, like, you have to go get it. Because I got done at the gym yesterday. I don't know why, but as I'm pulling out of the parking lot of the gym, sushi. I have to have sushi right now.
You know, I don't think I have any full cravings. I mean, like, I will eat tacos every day.
Oh,
all
yeah
day. I will eat tacos all day every day. That's tacos and, like, pho. Like, I really love Viet food. So I'll get after those at any time.
But,
no,
but foods that are outside of your normal consumption that when you get a craving for it. Because if I could, in a perfect world, I would probably have sushi at least once a month.
Yeah.
Because I love sushi.
My wife really loves Italian food.
Okay.
And it's not that I dislike Italian food, but I don't crave it as much as she does. So maybe it's that. Maybe it's pasta of some sort.
Okay.
I really love carbonara, and she makes carbonara for me, and it's absolutely delicious, but I don't have it a lot.
Yeah.
So maybe it's that. Maybe when I'm really hankering, I choose carbonara.
There you go.
It's like poor people food, poor people Italian food that's become bougie.
The other day when I was home alone because the wife and kids were gone all last week, I just all of a sudden had a hankering for a tuna sandwich.
Okay.
I don't know why. Doesn't happen much. But yeah. All of a sudden, I was like, I'm going to have a tuna sandwich.
Maybe a sandwich is the best way to go, because sometimes I'll be like, a hot pastrami sounds really good right now.
Yeah. It's weird, though. Like,
hot pastrami sounds really good.
We had French dips at home last night.
Yeah.
Somebody just texted in poke. Yeah.
I love poke.
But it's one of those things where, like, I have this thing that when I get done working out, I don't know about you guys when you work out or when you did work out.
I have a gym membership. Does that count?
There you go.
we have a family athletic club membership.
I pay somebody for me.
But when I get done working out, I have to eat. I'm not a eat before you workout guy. I'm an eat after workout guy.
And I am not a food driven person at all.
And
I'm just fat because I drink too much.
There you go. And since we've talked about this off air, I you know, losing all this weight, I couldn't just be like, oh, I'm just going to stop drinking. I didn't have that on the list. I just needed to, like, be mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what it came down to. It's like, oh, it turns out having your hips work is super useful. Who knew? But when I get done working out, man, I can still eat like I was 20 years old.
Really?
Oh, it's the only time that I can still eat like that. Yesterday, you can order, when you order from this place, the smallest one you can get is 8 pieces.
It's traditional, yeah.
Yeah, so one was 8 and one was 12. So I got two different types.
You got like 20 pieces?
Yeah.
Nice.
And I'm like, okay, you know what? This is perfect. I'll come home, I'll eat half of it when I get home, and then I'll eat the other half for dinner. Kind of a deal.
Okay, I was like, dude, don't let that left over for too long.
No.
I don't think raw fish is good to be kept in the fridge for a couple days.
No.
I'll get to that sushi on Thursday for lunch. It'll be delish.
Get home, take a shower, take care of stuff around the house, eat the first half. It's not even 45 minutes, dog. It's not even 45 minutes. And I'm just like, nom, 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 nom. I'm just like, just go right back to it. And I was like,
nom, nom, nom.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that. And I was like, I got done and I went, oh, it was too much.
But sushi's
boy, it was good.
Sushi's a tricky one. I love sushi, and it is one of the foods that I find myself eating more of than others, you know, because like I said, I'm not a very food-driven person, so I don't get after food very often. Sushi, I seem to be able to get after, and I think a lot of it is because it doesn't feel very heavy,
mm-hmm.
so you can keep going.
Yep, and then when
it hits. Because it hits, then you're like, oh, and it's just because of the rice.
Right, yeah.
But if it was just like sashimi, and we're just talking like
just fish?
Fish?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I mean, you could probably eat two whole fish.
Dude, you can keep going.
So light, so feathery.
Like, I think sushi's one of those underrated foods where, like, in a eating contest, you could put down way more.
Well,
than
again,
you
yeah,
you
it would
can.
Just be the rice that catches you.
And the place that I got it from, they aren't like the traditional like. It's like maybe the size of a quarter.
Oh, okay. They're not big pieces.
They're not huge. They're smaller for sure. Which is nice because then you can just kind of like and kind of throw them down. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I just had a hankering for sushi yesterday that I just quit. Like the entire drive home, I'm like, as I got in the car, I was searching restaurants and I'm like, all right, screw it. I'll go to this place because I can pick it up on the way home. But I had to have it in a way that I could not describe. It was just, you know, sometimes you get a craving for something. And you're like, oh, you know, I could go for this. It wasn't I could go for this. Like, I need this now.
Boxed mac and cheese. No idea why, but sometimes I will scarf down a box on a whim. I can cook. I'm a bit of a food snob even. But that's will call me randomly.
Yeah, no. Yeah. My dad is a peanut butter and jelly.
Text line there, Jordan.
Like, he will just randomly crave a peanut butter and jelly. Yeah.
My old man used to make what he'd call a PB&J turnover, where he would make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich using one piece of bread.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So it's just half and half, and then you fold it right there. Mm-hmm. I do that from time to time as
just
a snack.
Just a quick little snack.
Try not to eat too much bread.
Yeah.
But that is delicious.
No, it's you know, those food cravings are weird, man. It's weird the way the brain works. Because I wouldn't think when I'm done doing leg day, you know what I need? Sushi.
Well, you got to fuel somehow.
But you know what I mean?
When I'm done doing leg day, I need carbs. So that is... Yeah. Beer.
Oh, there you go. Because I mean, you guys see it every morning. I'm a chicken and rice guy. Yeah. For those who don't know, because of our time slot, I eat my lunch at 9 o'clock in the morning.
I found out the kids want fried rice, want my famous fried rice on Wednesday when they come home. And so I made rice last night because I like to let it sit for 2 days.
Oh, that's the best way to do it.
And then fry it up in the wok. And
do you actually have a wok?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, nice.
And I left it out all night. I put it in a Tupperware, in a Pyrex to cool down, and I left it on top of the stove all night long. So I had to toss it this morning, and I have to make more tonight when I get
home. Why do you have to toss it?
You can get sick off rice left out.
Really?
Yeah. You can get sick off any food left out, to be honest.
Well, I mean, rice and pizza are like two things that I've left out countless times.
Yeah, I don't think you should, though. You might be playing with fire there, Daniel.
I mean, rice and pizza are fine.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's enough.
Put it in the fridge.
There's enough salt there. We're good.
Are you out of room in the fridge?
No, just dumb.
Are you lazy?
No, just dumb. Because if I remember, it's like, oh, yeah, put that away.
Oakley doakley. Well, we do got a show for you today. A lot of football to get to. A lot of fun stuff in the 11 o'clock hour. Would this guy coming back convince you to get back on board? I don't think so for me. In the noon hour, we'll talk some quarterbacks. Quarterback heavy in the noon hour. All across the NFL, actually, all NFL. But to start for our wonderful day today on a Tuesday, for it must be a Tuesday, Rob Manfred had some very interesting comments at the Little League World Series game between the Mariners and the Mets, and we'll get to that first here on 105.1 The Fan. 1018 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. 503-864-6326. That's the Fan text line. She'll let you interact with us throughout the entire show. Also, shout out to the YouTube chat who are already doing push-ups and sit-ups as we speak. Rice has a special fungus that can sometimes get that's pretty bad. The fungus, if I remember, is pretty selective to just grains and rice. Coming in on the text line, probably because like maggots live in rice and grains, bugs live in rice and grains, and I have to imagine that they carry some weird stuff.
I think after years in the Middle East, my body is just immune to damn near everything.
When you live in the desert.
Well, I mean, you know, sanitation standards are different in third world nations, and you just
adapt.
I will say, though,
adapt or die.
The one thing I wouldn't adapt to was the bottled water. I would not use anything other than bottled water.
Well, yeah, water is a very different situation.
That's a different world, my friend.
Look, we got Coca-Cola in countries because they can't drink water.
Yep.
I'm risking it 90% of the time. Also, me later that day. Why am I pooping so much? That is my life to a T. Sometimes I'm just like, dude, what is wrong with my body? Check back. Carry the one. Yep. Ah, dang it. My fault.
Yeah. Dude, I've ate pizza that was out for like 3 nights. Not proud of it, but never got sick. Pizza plays by different rules.
It really does, Jordan. It really does.
It's the sodium.
It's strange, yeah. I also think it's bread that's baked.
Yeah.
Or like dough that's baked which kind of gives it a little bit of a shelf life. Mm. I mean, think about it. Your loaf of bread in your pantry lasts a little while.
Sure.
What?
I'm agreeing.
I thought you had something there. You were kind of looking at me like, where are you going with this?
No, I got you.
I thought you were about to set me up there.
No, I'm not knocking you down for this one.
Rob Manfred spoke at the Little League World Series game that featured the Mariners and the Mets. He sat down with Carl Ravitch and David Cohn and Eduardo Perez and talked a little bit about the future of Major League Baseball when he was asked, and this is what he had to say.
In my mind, I think if we expand, it provides us with an opportunity to geographically realign. I think we could save a lot of wear and tear on our players in terms of travel. And I think our postseason format would be even more appealing for, you know, entities like ESPN, because you'd be playing up out of the East, out of the West, and that 10 o'clock time slot where we, you know, sometimes get Boston, Anaheim,
yes,
would be two West Coast teams. And that 10 o'clock slot that's a problem for us sometimes becomes a real opportunity for our West Coast audience. So I think, you know, I think the owners realize that there's demand for Major League Baseball in a lot of great cities, and that we have an opportunity to do something good around that expansion process.
So twofold there. One, he's talking about realignment. He's talking about expansion. We'll chat a little bit about expansion in the 12 o'clock hour. Stick around for that. I always find it interesting with baseball specifically being such a fuddy-duddy old guy, don't change my rules, fist in the sky.
Why do you find it funny? You are that. You are the epitome of that.
But I think Manfred is kind of doing, you know, we talked a little bit before the show. We were talking a little bit about hockey and expanding and how it's got this hot streak and it kind of just needs to put hockey in more living rooms sort of situation. I think baseball's trying to work on that same thing. The geographical alignment, saving wear and tear on travel, I think is a fantastic idea. I am not married. For the longest time, I was really married to American League and National League, mostly because of the DH, and they had different brands of baseball.
Yeah, it's
National League was small ball, you know, do the fundamentals correctly, and American League seemed like me hit home runs.
Yeah.
Now everybody kind of plays the same game. And if your team is bad, you play the National League way, and if your team is good, you play the American League way. Fair? So I think I'm finally okay with letting some of that go.
Yeah, I think the regionality of this is the big sticking point for me, in the sense of baseball, and like the NHL, is a regional game. Mm-hmm. So then lean the hell into it with your realignment, with your divisions. Make it make sense. Make it so you're not having a team on the West Coast playing teams in Texas. Like,
yeah.
And it's so many of our sports leagues and decisions are driven by leagues that are based where?
In New York.
And they all their decisions are based on a very, very East Coast bias of, well, it's this out here. It's like, well, yeah, you're an
How
hour.
How am I going to watch a 10 o'clock baseball
it's
game?
Like, we don't care.
Yeah.
We don't care. It doesn't matter for us. Like, this, as much as it doesn't matter for you out here, it doesn't matter for us out here. It's very different. And so not only that, the regionality of the East Coast is much more compressed. Like, if you're somebody that lives out on this side of the country.
Which you probably are if you listen to the show.
but you've never been, like, outside of the West Coast.
Okay.
You don't realize how close together everything is on the East Coast.
Right, right.
Everything.
Like, the two biggest cities we have in the state of Washington, for example, the two biggest cities closest to Portland, Oregon, are Seattle and Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle's 3.5 hours away, which is the equivalent of New York to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And Spokane is 5.5, 6 hours away. Philly ain't 5.5, 6 hours away from New York City.
And if you just take a look at it, you've got New York, you've got Philly, you've got Boston. If you head down south and you go not even that far into Jersey, like, you just have so much that it's just right. And it's across sports.
Right.
And then you get into the South. Even the South, as big as it is, it's still compressed. Like, Alabama, Mississippi, like, Georgia, these aren't enormous states. Now, they're bigger than some of the Northeast states.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not until you get across the Mississippi that you realize how big the right. We have more west of the Mississippi than you do east of the Mississippi.
I know. Sometimes I think, like, Tuscaloosa to Athens has got, I mean, that's got to be what, like, an 8-hour drive? And it's probably not.
No.
It's probably like 4.
And that's the thing. Is like, you, if you're in Oregon, if you're in Portland, you can drive 5 hours east or south and still be in the state.
Yes, sir.
And it's like,
San Francisco is 10.5 hours away.
Yeah.
And that's Central California.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know,
Canada is like 7 hours away.
If you don't hit traffic, it's like 5.5, 6. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not.
The only thing I find strange about this is, you know, he's talking about the 10 o'clock time. Well, I mean, Boston's still going to play the Angels. So you're still going to have 10 o'clock starts.
But the thing he talked about, and I thought it was interesting that he brought up ESPN specifically.
That was a calculated move.
That was, oh, you want regionality? You want time slots? What if we set this thing up to where it makes more sense for you and your New York brain?
Yeah.
Of having a controlled, so you don't have West Coast teams playing in Texas 4 times a year.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Why don't you put, yeah, and then you could have, like, ESPN2 could play any baseball game you want at any time at 10 o'clock. It could be the West Coast. It could be MLB After Dark.
Every Wednesday, we have games that start at 10 o'clock in the morning our time.
Mm-hmm.
All the way up until 7:30 our time.
Yeah, there's a game on today at 11:30.
I mean, that's just, so you could fill your summer programming if you had more regionality to it. And again, everybody talks about, you know, the NFL is nationwide, where baseball is regional. Like, you don't have pockets of fans all across the country for certain teams. Now, you do in a sense with the, you know, the Dodgers and the Yankees of the world. But otherwise, like, I'm in the minority being a Cardinals fan in Oregon. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, the Cardinals and Cubs are two huge brands in baseball, but they are not. It's not like being a Raiders fan or a Steelers fan or a Giants fan, like where you've got, or a Packers fan, where you just have like these national brands
right.
that transcend time zones and everything else.
I thought Andy and Brandon, I thought Dirt and Sprague said something very apropos this morning. It's like in the NFL, we watch every game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought they were spot on with that kind of, that league is built that, you know, we're such junkies with the NFL that we'll watch any games, where baseball is not that.
No.
So
you're
lean
either a fan
into
or
it.
You're not.
Yeah, so lean into it.
So I mean, have it more sense.
I'm to borrow your phrase, I'm a psychopath, a mm-hmm. psychopath, and I will watch Brewers Cubs because
sure.
I love baseball, but I'm in the vast, vast minority mm-hmm. of that. And I'm aware of that. I mean, I love that he's talking about it. I still think there's some weird things that don't make a little bit of sense. Kind of like I said, there's still a 10 o'clock window on the East Coast for an East Coast game at some point. You can't not have East Coast teams go to the West Coast for night
sure.
games. You know, but maybe, yeah, maybe they become 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock games instead of 7:15 first pitch. You know, we'll see what the NBA, we'll talk about it later this week. We'll see what the NBA figures out when the 8 o'clock start time bombs terribly, you know.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that later
this week, but there are ways around this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm just happy with Rob Manfred being open to the idea. Because sometimes I will always say this. Joe and I used to always say this. Nobody hates Major League Baseball more than Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with Rob Manfred sometimes. However, last few years, coming a little round on.
I mean, he's gone from the bottom of the power rankings to maybe the top with the decisions that they've made.
At least middle. He ain't at the bottom anymore.
Which is crazy. If you had told me this 5-6 years ago, I would be like, there is not a chance in hell that this guy isn't the worst commissioner in the Big Four.
Dude, I hated Bud Selig. And when he was gone, I was so stoked to have a new guy. And it took me like 30 seconds to hate Rob Manfred.
Like immediately, like, oh, this guy
great.
Sucks.
Baseball. Mm. Got it. He did open up some other thing that I thought was an interesting fascination. Can you make your rivalry as large as something else? We'll get to that next. A little more baseball today. We'll do that right here on The Firm, 105.1 The Fan. But first, there's Rusk with sports.
Getting higgy with it.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll check in on the Rashee Rice situation. I don't think we've actually given that some thought. But as the season gets closer, I'm curious how this will affect the Kansas City Chiefs. So we'll do that in a little bit. In the 11 o'clock hour, we'll have a ton of fun. Somebody learned about shallots and had comments about being a vegan that I thought we could have a lot of fun with.
Mm.
Plus, will this guy's return make you watch something that has been unwatchable for years? So stick around with us for the 11 o'clock hour. We'll have a lot of fun. But kind of continuing this Rob Manfred situation and his really candid comments. And, you know, one thing that he kind of mentioned, and, you know, like I said, we'll get to this in the noon hour when it comes to expansion, was that he is retiring in 2029. I always forget that. I always forget that he has a timeline. And so, maybe because he has a timeline, it's exciting for him to speak candidly and kind of get after some thoughts, some things he wants, expansion.
It's a lot of double barrel, like, I don't care anymore. Yeah. I don't have to worry about this anymore. It's a there's a freedom of movement, as it were. Like, you don't have to protect anything anymore because, like, look, man, I'm a short timer, and it's there's a legacy play, but it's also, it's like, this is what I want to do, and if you want to push me out early, fine, but this is what I'm going to try to do between now and then.
Yeah, in 100 years, you look back at Rob Manfred, you know, I mean, hell, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, look back at Rob Manfred, and I think he'll be known as the guy that sped the game up. I think that's his legacy right now. If he sped the game up and expanded two new teams, like, I think that leaves his legacy somewhere decent.
I think it's an even bigger one than speeding the game up. I think he revitalized the game.
I think so, too. I mean, finally, guys like Aaron Judge and Bryce Harper and Shohei Ohtani, they are closer to household names than a Mike Trout was, if I'm being honest.
And beyond that, it's it's not just home run ball.
It's not. No,
there's a differentiation in the game again. There's pitching. More than strikeouts matter.
It's Paul Skenes. It's Ronald Acuna Jr. stealing bases.
Yes.
It's a lot more.
There's a lot more, you know, hit and run. There's a lot more strategy in the game that really it disappeared in the analytics boom era. And I think the pace of the game, the style of the game, the branding of the game, the marketing of the game, all of those things are kind of all interlinked because you can change all the marketing you want, but if it's just one style of ball, which is just strikeouts and home runs, and I think the NFL has gone through this. I think the NBA has gone through this.
I think the NBA goes through it the most.
Because they push so far into the three-point era, and now we're pulling back from that a little bit.
I think there's something NBA could learn from Major League Baseball, because as much as the analytics kind of bored the sport and kind of bogged it down a little bit, it's still used just as much. But they decided that was not something to, like, promote and put your image around.
Yeah.
To where maybe the NBA could learn that with the three-pointer. Like, it's not going away. But maybe if we can find a way to make the mid-range jumper look good or bring dunks back, things like that, instead of it just being three-ball, it might help with the image. Another thing he kind of chatted on spoke on that I thought was kind of fascinating, he said the Padres-Dodgers rivalry nearing Red Sox-Yankees. And it led me to the question, as a baseball fan, the answer is hell yeah, brother. Like, those are really, really highly contested games. I feel like they are more explosive in San Diego than in L.A. I don't know if it's because in L.A. it's kind of got that Miami vibe of we're chill and we've got so much to do. Can this rivalry get to that level? Is it at that level?
I'd say you have to win, but the Red Sox didn't win for decades. In decades. Let's just say this. If the Padres find themselves in a World Series, let's say two over the next 12 to 15 years.
Okay.
Which is a long time.
Yeah.
But
it's still a lot of appearances. It's hard to go to the World Series.
It's hard to go.
Ask the Arizona Diamondbacks.
But in that process, you knocked off the Dodgers twice. Now you're cooking.
See, that's what I was wondering. Would you have to go through the Dodgers?
Yes, like, you have to. That's where rivalries are baked.
Yeah, if San Diego plays the Mets and the Dodgers play the Phillies and the Padres beat the Mets and the Phillies beat the Dodgers and then the Padres beat the Phillies and then go to the World Series and beat the Astros, yeah, you got a World Series ring, but you didn't go through the Dodgers.
No.
Because that Yankee-Red Sox rivalry really culminated in the late 90s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And it took Aaron bleepin' Boone to ratchet that thing up to another level, which hit its pinnacle the next season. I think you're right. I think they'd have to go through the Dodgers.
But would it be cool to see? Hell yes. Look, this is something that goes back to when Dustin and I first started doing the show. It's very simple in the sense of bring hatred back. I want
you're the heel, man. You know all about it.
I want teams to not like each other. I want vitriol. I want angst. Look, minor league baseball, but we are talking about Victor Robles not because he threw a bat at a pitcher. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Victor Robles yesterday because there was real angst.
Real angst, real animosity,
and like
real anger, real feelings.
And when you have that, and I think baseball and hockey are probably two of the best sports to have real angst. And I don't know, and in the NBA, you can. it's at least starting to work its way back in the league, but the AAU era kind of muddied it up. I'm hoping that the same thing doesn't happen with travel baseball, where right. everybody's spending money and it's just this, you know, becomes country club.
It kind of already is.
I know. And that's the thing.
That's why I root for the island kids.
But yeah, exactly. You still have the influx of the South American, Central American mm-hmm. players, the Asian players that mm-hmm. come over that still have that. And I think that's where you get some of that spiciness from. And good. Mm-hmm. Good. I want it there.
Oh, the Manny Machados of the world? Oh, dude, he's ready to fight you.
Yes.
Fernando Tatis, yes. he's ready to fight you.
That's.
I'm with you on that. Like, I think baseball fights are lame. Like, they're never as cool as in the relation to hockey. But I was listening to a guy the other day on MLB Network, and I can't remember who it was, but he was talking about, like, when you get to the show, it's actually kind of a small club. Like, you know everybody. Mm-hmm. You might not be friends with everybody, but, like, you know everybody. You know, when you're traveling to, if you're the Mariners and you're going to go play Cincinnati, which you don't normally play frequently, you still know who Spencer Steer is. You still know who, you know,
what
Hunter Green is and who the good players are on that team.
The number's like, so what, 750?
Something like that.
Like, yes, you've got roughly 600, but you've got probably 150 that are assignment cycling out. All
but
those
you
kind
know
of
all the guys. If yeah. you're a hitter, you know every guy in the infield of every team mm-hmm. because you go by them all yeah. the time. And that can create that animosity. Man, are we going to become Padres fans on this show?
Look, even though they're in the same league as the Cardinals,
yeah,
I like what the Padres are doing. Now, my whole family's Dodgers fans, so they don't like the Padres. But if the Dodgers are playing and the Cardinals aren't playing, I will watch a Dodgers game.
Yeah.
But if the Padres are playing and the Cardinals aren't playing, I will watch the Padres over the Dodgers. There's something about them that I like.
They're bad guys.
I'm drawn to that.
Yeah.
I don't like the...
LA's very clean.
Yeah.
Freddie, Mookie, Shohei, those mm-hmm. guys are very clean, polished, Hall of Fame caliber players. To where the Padres are like chippy.
There's a little edge to them.
A lot of edge.
And I
think a lot of that has to do about where they come from.
And I like the edge.
Mm-hmm. I like the edge too.
It's fun.
Yeah, I'm a Padre fan. Not really. I mean, my team sucks. I wish my team was the Padres.
Right?
Yeah, I wish... You know, as much as I'm the face of this show, and in terms of face heel, you know, I try to be the nice guy. I would love for one day in my life one of my teams to be the jerks.
Nasty.
I've never had a team that were like, well, I mean, I had Albert Bell in the 90s, but it was just him.
Yeah.
The team wasn't a no. jerk. You know, I had the Jailblazers, but they were just idiots, mm-hmm. not really bad boys per se.
Like the USC teams that were winning national titles,
those guys had some edge to them.
They go like everybody.
They were flaunting.
Everybody talks about, well, they had Leinart and Reggie and Lindale, and it's like they had the offense. Like, go look at the defense. Also, it is nothing but lunatics across. Brian Cushing.
Yeah. Also, there's different ways to be bad guys. Like Matt Leinart went to like red carpet ceremonies.
Oh yeah,
that makes me hate you.
Oh, yeah,
so
no.
much.
But that's
that
yeah.
like
the prima donna.
Prima donna.
Oh yeah. But like,
there's different ways to be bad guys.
But they had all of it, and that's like the LA Kings when they were winning Stanley Cups. Like, they had a bunch of dudes on that team that were just a-holes.
Yep.
Like, they just were.
Yeah, those Red Wings teams in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, don't get me wrong. Yeah, you had Stevie Y, but you also had a bunch of dudes who wanted to rip your head
yeah.
off.
Yeah, we mentioned the Kachucks yesterday. I mean, like, I love watching them.
And that's the thing is, like, there's everybody likes to see the. You know, the Yankees, the clean-cut Yankees, unless you're a Yankee fan, everybody else loves to see the Yankees get the crap kicked out of them.
Yeah, everybody was
it's fun.
Everybody was on board with Pedro Martinez and Kevin Millar and Manny Ramirez being guys that were
the
not
D-backs.
Afraid. Yeah, Jason Varitek punching A-Rod in the face.
Yeah.
Like, you're into that. Don Zimmer, you should never throw old people to the ground, but when Pedro threw Don Zimmer down, you're kind of like,
yeah, well.
The old man might have deserved it. All right, we'll slide over to the NFL next and check in on Rashee Rice and see how that's going. Could he be suspended? Is he trying to make a deal? What does this mean for the Chiefs? Some NFL next, 105.1 The Fan. I'm only 503-864-6326. That's the Fan text line. Hey, bros, I got the best of both worlds being from Detroit. We're the Bad Boys and the Lunch Pail Pistons, and we're the popular Bad Boys because we beat the Hall of Fame Lakers roster. That's the truth.
It's like knocking off
the
Yankees.
Truth.
It's the same
That's
thing.
That's the truth.
You knock off the Showtime Lakers, and then you do it again
mm-hmm.
with the Billups crew, and it's like, yeah, it's There's something to knocking down the prima donna and the underdog and the grittiness and the toughness. And there's a draw to that. Now, there's also a draw to the brands like the Cowboys, the Yankees, and the Lakers.
But those are more, you know, those are more brands that, like, everybody hates you. You know, it's like, it's not Niners Cowboys anymore.
No.
It's everyone v. Cowboys.
Yes.
Yeah, like, using Detroit as an example from this texture is great. Diehard Cleveland fan. You know, when it comes to baseball, I hate the Tigers. I hate the Tigers so much.
Which is so weird.
But there's like no real animosity between the clubs. We had a great postseason matchup last year that was really exhilarating games, but there's no like animosity behind it.
No, well, it's
because I think it's because both of our franchises kind of suck.
But it's also, it's like, they're the Tigers. Like,
I know. It's just a division thing. Like, I hate the Twins, too. I really hate the Twins.
Which is such a weird thing because it's like, hey, it's Minnesota. Eh?
Yeah, what did the Twins ever do to you?
It, like, if the local one, I think, is Portland and Utah. It's like, well, it's like, it's Portland and
Utah.
The
Mormons are weird. Like, what do I care?
But it's also, at least for our age group, you know, I was talking to Brian Grant at Summer League.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asking him about Karl Malone and in that playoff series. And because
I'm Karl Malone,
and he was, and I was like, what was it like guarding him in like at that point in time? And he was like, well, there's two choices. You either let him catch the ball at the free throw line and get a head of steam at you coming at 280 pounds down the lane at you and then hoping and praying, or you just beat the hell out of him before he caught the ball. And like me, you get your eyebrow split open twice. And I was like, what was it like when you came back out? Because he got his eyebrow split open when he got stitches, kind of Willis readed it. He goes, the loudest building I've ever been in my entire life. I will never forget that feeling. And he puts his arm up and he goes, I'm getting goosebumps talking about
it. Yeah, because you get juiced up because now you got anger.
Yeah, right?
Well, anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. And suffering leads to the dark side.
Which is what I love. I love me a good dark side. But it was funny because
weird.
Yeah, right? I brought that up because that to me, it's the loudest building I've ever been in. Was that when he came back out on the floor in that playoff series against the Jazz. And I've told the story God knows how many times to how many people.
Well, they were good, too.
I was sitting in the front row of the 300 level. That's where our season tickets were then.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember having to cut my hands and scream to talk to my dad.
Yeah.
Because it was so loud in that arena. And talking to BG about it, he was like, it's the loudest, most raucous, craziest, like, single moment he's ever been in. Like the roar that came down when he comes out of the tunnel and is getting ready to check back in. Like, even now I'm getting goosebumpy. It was like, it was deafening.
That Utah team is weird to think about historically. Like, were they liked? Because nobody likes Karl Malone.
Well, Stockton, I think Stockton
and Hornacek, like Peja Stojakovic. Oh, sorry, that's the Kings.
Yeah.
But like that Byron Russell, like those guys, they're not really hateable guys.
Well,
like, at the time, like, were the Utah Jazz considered hated back then? They were really good.
By Portland, by Seattle, by LA.
Yeah.
By anybody who couldn't solve their pick and roll.
Which the answer was no.
None. Yeah, nobody could. Yeah, because I was really on the fence about that growing up. My uncle, he loves the Utah Jazz. He's a Jazz fan because of Stockton. He's from Spokane, and I get that. You know, Stockton's our guy at GU, but I could never get behind Karl Malone, and I didn't really like my uncle all that much. So when he loved Karl Malone, that was really easy to kind of hate Karl Malone.
Just pushing him further.
Yeah. But I loved Stockton. I thought Hornacek was a good player.
Karl Malone kind of made it easy to hate Karl Malone, too.
Dude, that guy is such a piece.
Just a dirtbag.
I love the young NBA players now learning about Karl Malone being a dirtbag. They're like, oh.
Yeah.
There's a clip of somebody the other day talking about Karl Malone.
I think it was Jeff Teague or something like that. Maybe it was his show.
Yeah, and they're like, no.
No.
No. They had to kind of reel him back like, hey, not only did he have some stuff.
Just maybe a quick Google search, huh?
Yeah, maybe a quick little Google search on Karl Malone.
He literally, like a month ago or 2 months ago, recognized that that's his kid.
Ugh.
He acknowledged that is indeed his, in fact, his kid.
And gross. Like, gross. I feel sticky. I feel icky.
Oops.
Ugh. I'm Karl Malone. I can't believe Jimmy Kimmel got away with that. He blackfaced Karl Malone.
Well, I don't know if he got away with it.
Is it because we just hated Karl Malone so much that it was like, go, Jimmy, you got that?
Well, no, nobody cared about Jimmy Kimmel enough.
I suppose at the time, yeah. Well, that's what we know about Rashee Rice. So good luck to him. we'll push that either later in the show or we'll hit that tomorrow or something like that. When we come back, maybe one of the coolest impersonation stories I have ever heard. So we'll get to that. A loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. Have fun with us. 105.1 The Fan.